Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here with all of you. Madhari Das Prabhu. He has asked me to speak a little about the song which we will sing now, known as Parama Karuna from the first two words of the song. The actual name is Sri Sri Gaura Nityananda Daya, the mercy of Sri Gaura and Nityananda, by Lochan Das Thakur. I will read the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Dui Jana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nitai Gaura Chandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful, Parama Karuna. Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sabha means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, Kevala Ananda Kanda. For they introduced chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations, like Lord Rama and even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. So, we've all experienced the truth of this statement. Especially those who attended the Sadhana Sangha retreat, but all of us who are here have experienced that Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply joyful. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bhajo Bhajo Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Vishwasa Kori. So the beginning of bhakti yoga is faith and attraction. Shraddha, ado shraddha, tathasadhu sangha. And after one develops some faith, ado shraddha, tathasadhu sangha, then one will associate with devotees, tatha bhajana kriya, and then engage in the process of devotional service. But faith is the beginning, and advancement in Krishna consciousness really means progressing in faith. That same faith, when it becomes stronger, is called Nishta Ruchi Asakti Bhava and Prema. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Charya Seirase Majya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. So in the chanting of the holy name, there are 10 offenses to be considered. And the 10th offense is to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. So when Lochan Das Thakur says Vishayacharya, to give up sense gratification, he means any activity, any engagement of the senses that is not favorable to devotional service. Now this chanting and dancing itself is a sort of sense gratification, but it's spiritual sense gratification. So that's allowed. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples, Gurudas Prabhu, said to Srila Prabhupada that he enjoyed playing the kartels. So isn't that sense gratification? And Prabhupada said, sense gratification is there, but that is spiritual sense gratification for the pleasure of Krishna. That is what defines spiritual, for the pleasure of Krishna. And any engagement of the senses that is not related to Krishna consciousness should be given up. Otherwise, we will not experience the nectar for which we are anxious. There is one story that Srila Prabhupada told from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples told him that there are so many devotees in the mutt, say in the ashram, and they're all engaging in the same activities. Anyone who lives in the mutt must engage in certain activities. They're all engaging in the same activities. But not all are making the same advancement. And what is the reason? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta replied by telling the story of the wedding party, which some of you might have heard. I think I'm going to turn a little bit because my back is to. So, as is the custom with Indian weddings, the bride's party and groom's party come from all over for the wedding. And in those days, they were traveling by boat to cross a river, to get to the other end of the river, other side of the river. So it was expected to take a few hours. So the wedding party boarded the boat and they went to sleep, expecting that by morning they would reach, the other end of the river where the wedding was to take place. And when they woke up, they found that they were in the same place. So they got very upset and they began to blame the boatman. They, you know, we paid you so much money to take us to the other end of the river, and you haven't taken us anywhere. Mm-hmm. You were just sleeping all night. And he said, no, I wasn't sleeping. I was rowing hard all night. And I said, well, then why haven't we gone anywhere? He said, well, I don't know. So they were searching for some reason, and then they found that he had neglected to pull out the anchor. So he was rowing and rowing and rowing, but he didn't get anywhere because he didn't take out the anchor. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told this story to make the point that you can make a lot of efforts, but if you keep the anchor in, the anchor of material attachments, you won't make progress. If you take out the anchor, then you can progress. So there's a subtle point here which I'll just mention. So to maintain material attachments is an offense. To chant Hare Krishna and hold on to material attachments is an offense against the holy name. You know, you're chanting the holy name and asking to be engaged in devotional service, but actually you're secretly harboring some desire to enjoy the material world, which is actually an offense. But it's not an offense to have material desires. Everyone, I mean, it's an anartha, but it's not an offense, and there's a difference. And so by offenseless chanting, anarthas are eradicated. And so one naturally becomes freed from those attachments. And that is described in the Bhagavad Gita, param drishtva nivartante. One experiences a higher taste. It's not that you're actually losing something, but you're getting something better. As Srila Prabhupada often said, nobody will give up something for nothing, but he could give up something lesser for something greater. For example, if some poor man has a dry chapati. Dry chapati means without ghee, or whatever. And you say, give me that dry chapati. I say, no, that's all I have to eat. I can't give you that. But if the same person comes with a nice thali with, you know, rice and dal and vegetables and samosas and halva and says, give me that chapati, I'll give you a nice plate of all varieties of delectable food. And the person, I can do that. So this is the process. But if you hold, you know, if you're like, hold on to that dry chapati, then you can't get that nice thali. And there's also the story, I won't repeat it, of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone. One devotee of Shiva asked Shiva for a benediction of the most valuable thing. So, and Lord Shiva knew this devotee was materialistic. Many of Shiva's devotees are. He doesn't really appreciate it, but they come to him and he fulfills their desires. Srila Prabhupada said, it's like, oh, he doesn't want to be bothered. Okay, what do you want?
Okay, you want the most valuable thing? Okay, take it, go. Let me chant the holy name. So he said, oh, you want the most valuable thing? And of course, in that devotee's conception, the most valuable thing was material wealth. A touchstone that it turns anything it touches into gold. So he said, oh, yes. You can get that from Sanatana Goswami. He's in Vrindavan. And so he went to Sanatana Goswami, said, Lord Shiva said, you have a touchstone, and I could ask you for it. He said, yes, I do. So, okay, where is it? It's out in the back with the trash somewhere. You'll find it there. If you look, you'll find it. So he looked, he found it, he tested it. It was turning things into gold. He thought, oh, wow, this is like fantastic. This is just what I wanted. But then he started to consider that if he's keeping this out in the back with the trash, he must not consider it very valuable. That means he must have something more valuable than the touchstone. I think I'm being cheated here. I want the thing that's really the most valuable. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami and explained his reasoning. And you have something more valuable. I want that. So, oh, you want that? Okay. Well, then take the touchstone and throw it in the Yamuna River. And then I'll give you the most valuable thing. So the man hesitated because, you know, he had the touchstone in his hand. It was turning metal into gold. And he was profiting. But still, he had that doubt that he must have something more valuable. So he was thinking what to do. Then he decided, okay, I'll take a chance. So he threw the touchstone in the Yamuna River, said goodbye to it, and went to Sanatana Goswami. He said, now I want really the most valuable thing. He said, okay, here's the really the most valuable thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is really the most valuable thing. Because it's Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and the whole spiritual world, everything. But to actually realize that, we have to, as the song says, Vishayacharya, give up sense gratification, means material sense gratification, any type of enjoyment that we engage in or hope to engage in, independent of Krishna, without Krishna. But there's so much spiritual Sanskrit of Kevalananda Kanda. So I'll just begin at this paragraph. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Charya Seirase Madhya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. Deko ore bai, chibu vane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, and often this word bai, which means brother, it can refer to one's fellow. It can also refer to one's own mind. Sometimes the devotees, the poets, they're preaching to their own minds. My dear brother,
You just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they can make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It's described that they were chanting Hare Krishna, and animals that were naturally inimical were chanting and dancing together. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they were even kissing in joy, spiritual joy. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. Now, Srila Prabhupada is asking us to encourage every human being to chant. He says it's not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. But I would venture that Srila Prabhupada also did. And he's certainly not an ordinary person, because the people he found when he came to America, it's stated, dharmena hina pasubhi samana, that anyone who doesn't follow dharma, dharmena hina pasubhi samana, is on the level of an animal. So that's who Prabhupada found. We have one very nice devotee in Mumbai named Krishna Chandra Das, Rishikesh Mafatlal. And he told me that he feels that every person should see the video series following Srila Prabhupada, which shows who Srila Prabhupada was preaching to. He said that he, from his background in India, could not imagine the people that Srila Prabhupada was preaching to. It was only when he saw the video that he got a sense of, wow, like, these are really different types of people than we've ever seen. And he really said it in a very heartfelt way. Everyone should see this to really be able to appreciate who Srila Prabhupada met, or what Srila Prabhupada met when he came to America. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. Ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. This is the humbleness of a devotee. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, You are entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. So, it's Lochan Das Thakur's lamentation. Actually, it should be the lamentation of any sincere devotee. As we chant, we become more aware of the actual condition of our heart. Because the process of Sankirtan is Chaito Darpano Marjanam. It cleanses the dirty things from the heart. Like again, one early disciple of Srila Prabhupada told him that, I think I was more advanced before I became a devotee. I had more good qualities before I became a devotee. And, you know, anyway, I won't give my commentary on it. So, Srila Prabhupada replied, it's just like the heart, it's just like a room that hasn't been opened up and cleaned for a long time. But there's a lot of dirt in that room. But it's all settled. You don't notice it. But when you actually start to clean the room, then all that dust comes up. And so superficially you might think, oh, I'm cleaning the room, but it's getting dirtier. Now there's dust flying everywhere. But actually it's not getting dirtier, but it's the process of cleaning. So when we chant sincerely, we things come up. We notice things within us that we might not have been aware of before. And when we see that, we become humble, which is good. And in that mood of humility, then we pray. We take shelter of, try to take shelter of the holy name of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the Paramahara. Because it's only with their help that we can be successful. Otherwise, on our own, we do not have the power. It's the Lord who's within the heart. He helps the truthful devotee cleanse the heart when the devotee sincerely tries to chant and hear. Because he knows the devotee can't do it on his own, and so he helps the devotee. And so that's why we cry out, like Srila Prabhupada said, this chanting is like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. It's helpless. We have no other recourse. So, now I'm very eager to hear His Grace Bada Hari Das lead us in this beautiful song. Hare Krishna.